Continuing in a spirit of prayer, let us go before God. God of grace, God of the past, God of the present moment, God of the future, be with us as we break open scripture together. Break open our hearts, O God. Break open our very lives to be transformed once anew by your Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Woo! Okay. So I work really hard in general. I've shared with this to someone, I can't remember who, earlier this week, that in sermons, I have one goal. Okay, two. I've shared with you. One is to make you all best friends with the best friend that I've been hanging out with all week. You guys know this, right? I've said this before. Like, I've got to hang out with this friend. You guys are my friends. I want my friends to hang out together for a little while. And then later you might decide to get coffee or tea alone together. And that will make me very happy. That is my hope. That is my homiletic and my hermeneutic. My other prayer is that I don't waste your time. Because I know that there's a million other places each of us could be on a Sunday morning. But the ability to be together, even for this little time, the sacredness of breaking open scripture together is so beautiful. But today, I don't want to waste your time, I'll be clear. But I do want a little bit of grace. Can I have a little grace? To walk us through this scripture in a bit less structured way, to point out in this somewhat beloved scripture, but I know that I can't take and refuse to ever take it for granted that we all know the same canon, that because we've heard of the Good Samaritan or heard that phrase being tossed around, that we actually know some of the treasures that are a part of this scripture. So we're going to slow down and break it open together a little bit. Today is my final Sunday. It is also the fourth and final Sunday of this transition series that we've been working through. Amen? And we started off with the story of Elijah. We have this image of Elijah sitting lonely underneath the broom tree, running away from Jezebel, fearing for his very life, being found in this space by angels and attended to by angels and told to get up and eat by angels. And then to be told that there is more work ahead and that he needs strength for that. Then we picked up Elijah's story a little bit later when he discovers indeed he was not left alone, that there were 700 other faithful people in the midst of uncertainty. And he had a friend, a protege, a beloved one in Elisha. And we listen to the story of Elisha picking up Elijah's mantle as Elijah flew off into the heavens in the chariot of fire. And that Elisha left in that moment, having seen Elijah to get them to that very space, hit the staff into the ground, watch the waters separate. In the moment of receiving that mantle, which we discovered is not an object that you hold and hand to someone, which is what I thought it was, like a baton, but instead it is a coat, a cloak. So in the intimacy of being wrapped in the cloth of his beloved one, he does not talk about what is possible, but he makes the step to be and show that things might be different. And in that, he discovers that indeed the spirit of Elijah, the spirit of God that rested upon Elijah, has come onto him as well. And then we made the transition, the shift to the New Testament, looking at some of the gifts of what it means in Psalm 30, to celebrate that we serve a God that has the ability to translate, transform, and transition our mourning into dancing. And that very, very, very beautiful gift to know that at any moment, even if we have tears pouring, any moment when we are in despair and sitting under our version of the broom tree, any moment in our lives, there is still the possibility because we've seen how God has worked in the past to change and transform our mourning into dancing and to have hope that what is right now isn't what will always be. We held space for the 70 sent two by two, uncertain as to what they may discover, but like Elijah, it was in the walking, it was in the doing that they showed that they had been transformed as well and were able to do the miraculous, were able to see the Spirit work right through them, even in the uncertainty that happens when you must part ways. And that gets us to today. Our scripture is one that is beloved by many, the Good Samaritan story. Sometimes I'm not really sure how we use it. I had a friend, his name is Stephen, he put on Facebook today. He put on Facebook this week, he said, and Stephen actually, he came here a few years back, but any of you all Marvel fans? And there's a picture of the guy who plays Thor talking to the guy who plays the Incredible Hulk, Stephen Banner. And there's a split screen. And it was America is a Christian nation is what was in this picture with Thor is saying this. The person who plays Thor as Thor is saying that. And David Banner, who also is the Hulk, gets this look like, are we really, after looking at the gift that is the Good Samaritan story? The Good Samaritan story is the story of being a neighbor exactly when it is most messy, most vulnerable, most costly. Holding up the gift of this scripture for these days, as Suzanne lifted, where we can see that we are treating people, honestly, if it were animals, that we were treating the way people are being treated at the border of our country, there are some people who would be more upset than they are with people who are desperate on the road, that nobody gets up and leaves everything they know because they have nothing else to do. It was believed that in the parable that Jesus was talking about was a Jericho. It was a road known to be dangerous. There are those who say, well, if you're willing to put your family at risk and go across three countries, well, anything bad that happens is on you. Clearly, you don't know what it's like to be desperate enough to get away from what is having you on the road. Jericho may be a dangerous road, but if Jericho is the road you know to get to where it might be a bit better, we all have gone down our Jericho roads. We've all gone through situations that, are we on the rightest, the best side of town to get there? Maybe not. But if that's what you need to go through to get to where you need to get to, people pointing out that this isn't the safest road doesn't really help so much. My prayer is that in this scripture, we will again discover what it means to be neighbors. But I need some help. Matter of fact, I'm wondering, Joel, can you help me? I'll come over, and I just want you to tell me if you know who this person is. It's Daniel Tiger, you were an amazing neighbor. Thank you for telling me. I love Daniel Tiger. His little head was poking up earlier. I fell in love with Daniel Tiger all over again. Who here knows Daniel Tiger? Alright, we can hang out, we can do some conversations. There's some good theological truth that happens with Daniel Tiger. This is Daniel Tiger, this is Prince Wednesday, this is Miss Elena, and Miss Elena always goes by Miss Elena, which I absolutely love, because lots of reasons, I'll leave that there. And Katarina the Cat, and so this is Daniel Tiger, and these are his friends. And at the beginning of the show, something somewhat familiar to some of you, is sung. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Daniel Tiger. Well, Daniel Tiger is this generation's Mr. Rogers, literally. Daniel Tiger was birthed out of the stories of Fred Rogers, the legacy of Fred Rogers, and the gifts that Fred Rogers taught the entire generation. Now, some of you will know who Daniel Tiger is, but may not know this guy. And may not know this guy. Does anybody know who this little dude is? The little one. It's Daniel Tiger. We don't bring him a Daniel Tiger. Daniel Tiger. Well, in one of my favorite episodes, Daniel Tiger is afraid. And he doesn't really even know why he's afraid, but that there are people who aren't saying nice things about him and aren't treating him very well. I hold Daniel Tiger's story up because, as Fred Rogers beautifully did in his writing and in his puppetry, we all have been Daniel Tiger. And we all have been the person on that road. So frequently when we come to the story of the Good Samaritan, we see ourselves as one of three people. Sometimes we can acknowledge we are the Levite, the person who's so preoccupied in what is necessary, and we find grace. We even say things like, well, maybe the Levite was on his way to a council meeting in order to make those roads better. Therefore, it is okay to be the Levite. Give him some grace. Maybe we see ourselves as the priest. Eek! Well, maybe he was on his way to do a funeral. Maybe he was on his way to bless a baby. Maybe he was on his way to do some other really important thing that if he got messed up, made himself dirty, the important ritualized activity couldn't be done the way it needed to be. And I was already, he was already 5 minutes late. Sometimes, when we're feeling really good, we see ourselves as a good Samaritan. Remember that time that did that nice thing to that nice person, and they did not say thank you. And I walk away with this for the rest of the day. Oh, wait a minute. Sometimes we do genuinely celebrate. There are times in which we slowed down, gave of our very self, and even gave in ways that we weren't quite sure how it would work down. And one of the brilliant and beautiful aspects of the story is that, yes, the innkeeper was given a little bit of something, but there was also a promise that if there are more expenses, I will cover it on the back end. You literally are writing a blank check?
Yes.
For the care of somebody you met on the side of the road?
Yes.
Who amongst us would do that? The polyvalent, many angled, able to go back to over and over and over nature of Jesus' parables is actually, for me, week, a sign of the miraculous. You can come back to this story in 3 days, 3 months, 3 years, and it is going to change you if you allow yourself to be transformed by it. There is something to be learned. Typically, again, we see ourselves as a priest or the Levite or the Good Samaritan. But church, I would like us to know that more likely than anything, we're the person on the side of the road. I wonder when America will decide to realize that that baby in that cage should have the cure for our living. I wonder when America as a culture, from all of our many angles, will see that something that is happening on the other side of the world affects us. It is Ubuntu in our toenails, in the very depth of who we are, the inability to imagine that our lives is not connected to that of the other. When will our conscience really get that? That we don't get to pretend like they don't matter as much as we matter.
Yes.
Because if you know what it's like to be in need, you can start to truly imagine yourself as the person on the side of the road.
Yes.
And matter of fact, if you're just honest about the needs you have, if you'll be truthful about the places within you that are broken right now, you'll praise God that there are people that will show up surprisingly and tend to you.
Yes.
And that you would not be here without those people. And that is grace. And the gratitude one has from that grace is transformative over and over and over and over and over. Some of y'all from the stories you have shared, some of the things you left unshared, I know that you're a miracle. You are a living testimony of God's grace. None of us would be here without it.
Yes.
My invitation as I transition from this place is to know that me and neighbor continues even beyond. Because what we don't get is the and then what of the story. Did it end up costing that man everything he had? Didn't matter. The question is, who's the neighbor? Did it cost him nothing and the person got up the next day? Didn't matter. The question is actually about who's the neighbor. Mary and Sheldon Steen before. They were literally our next door neighbors that we arrived to when we stepped onto the campus of Columbia Theological Seminary now 10 years ago. And they had this hospitality that still blows my mind. We didn't know them from Adam or Eve, but they asked, hey, can we help in any way? And literally helped us unload. Offered us light, literally, when we forgot to pack lamps to get through the night. And our stuff wasn't arriving for a few days more. And now, 10 years later, their daughter Maya just turned 11 2 weeks ago. And those are still my neighbors. Even though we live thousands of miles apart from each other. Once you've been neighbors, you are neighbors. Anybody remember their childhood neighbor that lived at the house next door or in the neighborhood? Those friends that you were able to hang out with? Those are still your neighbors deep down inside, amen? You still see them as people you are connected to. Providence Presbyterian Church. I arrived, and I remember this, on the drive coming in. I arrived on the first Sunday and our tire broke. Remember we had a flat tire?
Yeah.
And Dave and Gina lovingly picked us up from the side of the road. Now, on your last day, when the sermon before you about somebody being picked up on the side of the road, if you're slowing down enough, you can see the miracle that's happening in these moments. I didn't get to come and pretend somehow like I had my things together. Because about 5 months in, I broke my leg and everything had gone to crap. And while I've had concerns that I would be seen as too vulnerable or too much in need of help to be seen as a leader, I've come to see that what some think is vulnerability has been the gift that keeps going and going and going. Because I tell you one thing, when I showed up for hospital visits, still in the wheelchair, and rolled up next to somebody's bed, I saw them and they saw me in a totally different way. And from that moment to the end of our relationship, which has not come yet, I feel that there's been a bonding in that moment. Might it be that we look and are honest with the places of brokenness within ourselves so that we can be neighbors, capable of giving and receiving more deeply? That is my prayer. That is my gift that I give to you, is that you will just continue the work to be neighbors together. Last point.
It's a little bit smaller, but anybody can say what they see.
And he names what it meant to have Fred Rogers say, "I actually see you, and I actually love you, and you actually are my neighbor." Yes. Yes. There is healing to be had. There is hope to be had if we can tend to, love, see, and care for the other. My prayer is that we will do that together. So I close with these words. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? could you be mine? It's a beautiful day in a neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Across time and space, we will be each other's neighbors. I will love you and know that I have been loved by you, and I am blessed for it. Amen.